As we gather this morning, I'm reminded of the words of the psalm. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For there is one here among us, within us, who gathers us and convenes us as part of a worldwide communion as well. Even with those who cannot be with us here this morning, that one is present. And may we all sense his presence today. For any who are visiting, I'm Matthew Swara, one of the pastors here, along with Janet Gingrich. And we also have with us today to bring the message and for you to get to know Marlene Bogart as well. Let's take a moment here to give a word of greeting to each other. I know you've been doing that, but maybe there's someone you missed. So stand where you are to give a word of greeting or blessing to someone around you. And if you have announcements, please come forward for those. Again, come forward if you have any announcements. I will start with a few. Please remember that after this service of worship today, there is a potluck fellowship in the fellowship hall out this way and around the corner. And don't worry if you think, oh dear, I forgot to bring something. You can at least bring your appetite. You can at least bring your presence. And that's also a time to get to know Marlene and her husband Mike all the more. Following that will be a time we've designated for parents of children to visit with Marlene, and that will be in the skylight room here. I don't know if anyone is really carding everyone who comes to ask, now, just how old are your kids, or do you even have kids? I suppose anybody else could sneak in on that too, but we do want parents to know that there's a special time that we've set aside for you to visit with Marlene. Any other announcements this morning? Jenna.
I'm the Everence representative here at Zion. So in your church box today is this brochure on end-of-life planning. So look at the blurb in the bulletin that tells about how important this is to look over. Our stewardship of our gifts from God happens even at the end of life. So this will guide you through steps of creating a living will, appointing a decision maker for medical decisions, and considering your faith values, memories, and legacy at the end of your life. Really important to look at and read through. Next Sunday, we will be hosting the Heston Choir here. So they will be sharing in our worship service. And we need lodging for some of those choir members on Saturday evening. They will arrive here Saturday evening and need lodging. So there's a sign up in the back. We still need a few people to sign up for some of those students to stay with them. Thank you.
Also this evening at 6:15, I will be leading Vesper services at Marquis Center of Hope Village. And if you wish, please feel free to join, to sing along, and to worship with the residents there. Let's move into now a spirit of worship as we hear the scriptures calling us to worship with a cloud of witnesses around us, going back farther than Moses. And you'll see it'll be printed here. Please join me in the words all. An expert in the law tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And Moses said, These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. In the future, when your children ask you, What is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell them, We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. This is what the Lord says from Jeremiah. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Please join me in this spirit of prayer. Timeless, infinite, and eternal are you, O God, God of generations past, present, and arising. Gathered here and now to worship you, we are but a link in the long chain of your grace and faithfulness in time. We are but a thread in the fabric of your new creation, a few out of the countless throng of the redeemed from every tribe, tongue, and nation who are learning to sing the song of Moses, of Miriam, of the Lamb on the other side of the sea of our deliverance. Here and now, in worship, you welcome us as your royal priesthood, where heaven and earth meet, where your divinity and our humanity meet. Here and now, Lord, in worship, your holiness meets our sin-spotted selves in longing and loving mercy. And as we call upon your blessing and your presence in this assembly, we remember that it is you who are ever calling and gathering us. It is you who are ever present to us in ways that we so rarely grasp. So we invite you, Lord, this morning in this service, to break through whatever distracts us from you, whether good or evil, whether pleasant or painful, so that we might hear and respond willingly to all your invitations to us. And so bless every worshiper and accept every offering that they have brought to you, whether of time or words or material wealth, and grant that the events, the encounters, and the experiences of this day might bring you honor and to us further growth into our likeness with the one in whose name we gather, by whose grace we worship. Amen. Clyde, would you lead us in singing now?
In choosing hymns today, I looked at the theme of the morning, working with children and youth to promote spiritual guidance and growth and to encourage response to God's calling in their lives. I want to just make a few comments about the hymns we're going to sing. Hymn number one in your blue hymnal. What is this place that we are meeting? Although we are a house with walls and a roof sheltering people, windows for light and an open door, it becomes a body that lives, where we are gathered here and know that God is near. This is a place where we can receive what we need to increase God's justice and God's peace. Would you stand with me? Number one, what is this place? Turn to number 8. Our second hymn states we are met to worship and adore the Lord of our God. It asks us to pray with all our power while we try to preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Verse 4 says we are to love God supremely. And let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Christ will call us home to heaven. At this table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself in service with sweet manna all around. Number 8.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to
Turn to your green book, Sing the Journey, number 90. The third hymn addresses working with children. Grant to us your help, we pray. Bless the children, bless the parents. May they grow in Christ our Lord, joined in faith and loving service in his Spirit and his Word. The last verse asks us to give ourselves in true commitment to this service, to the task of Christian nurture, teaching, training, leading, still in the way of Christ-like living till life's purpose we fulfill. Marlene's job description.
Lord, we bring to you our children at this festive holy day. Grant to them your benediction. Grant to us your help, we pray. Bless the children, bless the parents. May they grow in Christ our Lord, joined in faith and loving service in his Spirit and his Word. Now may we in honest worship in this land and sacred hour give ourselves to your service and your power, to the task of Christian nurture, training, leading still in the way of Christ-like living till life's purpose we fulfill.
You may be seated.
Before the day of cable television, I grew up with three channels on TV, one of which often came in fairly fuzzy, depending upon the weather. And I can remember sometimes a TV show being interrupted by these words. We now interrupt our regularly scheduled program to bring you some news event or something else. And I confess that as a young Christian, I sometimes thought of the offering time as, we now interrupt our worship to bring you this moment where you give something back. I hope instead that we see this time of offering as also an act of worship. It certainly is, as we hear wonderful music during that time as well. And so I ask that you join me in prayer again, to consecrate the gifts and the givers as our responsible act of worship. Let's pray. Lord, you call us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and that is our reasonable, responsible act of worship. But how do we know, unless there's something tangible that comes out of our wallets, comes through our hands as a gift? So, Lord, I pray that where this treasure goes that we offer now, so will our hearts as well, that they may be tokens and also anchors drawing us towards giving ourselves as living sacrifices. As we pray in Christ's name, amen. I forgot to ask the ushers to come forward. You may do so now to receive the offering. Eva, it was good seeing you out there helping us with the offering this morning, knowing what a hard hit you took this week. And now I invite the children to come forward as well for the children's story with Marlene. Here.
Somebody can sit over here if you want to scoot. That would be great. Well, good morning, friends. I'm new, aren't I? My name's Marlene, and I have a brand new book. Who likes books? Oh, thank you, too. Okay, so I know that some of you are readers, because I can tell some of you are old enough to read and some of you are not. So those of you who are readers, I'm going to depend on you to help me, okay? All right. So this book is called, go ahead, Be Still. Good job. Right. And so we're going to actually see the words on every page that are going to come up in yellow. And this is what I call a special message from God. Because when we're all done with this book, we are actually going to know a whole scripture verse from the Psalms. Okay, you with me? Here we go. So the name of the book is Be Still. And it's going to be real simple to read because this page only has one word, and it is be. Good job. And that's all it is on that page. So we got the first word done, right? Be. Be kind. Be silly. Be a friend, but be yourself. Mm-hmm. Now we've got two words, and they are be still. Let's say it together one more time. Be still. Good job. Be still. Shh. Slow down. Take a breath. Let's do that. Big, deep breath. No hurrying or scurrying. No wanting or whining. No fussing or rushing. Just safe and still. Yeah. Now we've got three words. Here we go. Be still and say it with me. Be still and be still and peaceful. Be still and quiet. Be still and calm. Here we go again. Be still and know. Say it with me. Be still and know. What should you know? Know that you are my joy when you obey. Know that my grace is with you when you don't. Know my word and know me. Remember, this is a message from God. Here we go. Be still and know that. Would you say it with me? Be still and know that, be still and know that you are safe, that you are loved, that you are always on my mind. Be still and know that I will never leave you. That's a message from God. Here we go again. Be still and know that I, a very short word, isn't it? I see you. I hear you. I know you. And God says, I love you. Here we go. Be still and know that I am. God says, I am real. I am good. I am patient. I am with you. I am the great I am. Okay, we're almost done with this story, okay? Here we go. Be still and know that I am God. That's our verse. We say it together. Be still and know that I am God. God, who is mighty and strong, God, who is gentle and kind, God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-loving, that's God. And that's a special message, from Psalm 46. Okay. Thanks for helping me learn this story today. You can go back.
Well, I certainly feel calmer and more relaxed after that children's story, too. And hopefully these words as well from John's Gospel, chapter 15, from the Message, will also help us focus and be receptive to the message that Marlene will bring from these words. You will see them in print as well as hearing them as I read. This is Jesus speaking to all of us. He says, live in me, make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. Marlene, I invite you to come forward now, and I'd also like to offer a prayer of blessing for you and your words and for us as well. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for Marlene, for her being present here at this time, for what she brings to us. And Lord, may your Spirit be with the speaker and the hearers, with the words and with our hearts. This we pray in the name of him who is the living word. Amen.
Well, good morning. I'm delighted to be with you all today. We are about to tackle the enormous topic of Christian faith formation in the congregation. We may not get it all covered in 20 minutes. First, I'm going to tell you that I am a practical theologian. So what you'll hear from me this morning is not an exegetical sermon, because I am not a biblical scholar. However, I do like to mine the scriptures and explore our Anabaptist theology and our life together for clues on how to follow Jesus and how to grow in our Christian faith. And that's my basic definition of practical theology. Christian faith formation is at the heart of our lives. It can be described as any or all of the following: discipleship, following Jesus, spiritual growth, faith nurture. And as we journey through life, our lives can be in a constant state of faith formation, if we're open to it. The goal of all faith formation with children and adolescents and all adults is forming disciples of Jesus Christ and providing a foundation for lifelong growth in Christian faith and discipleship. So here's a quick six ways that faith formation helps to assist people to follow Jesus. Faith formation's for life. My belief is that faith formation happens from cradle to grave. Not just from this grade to this grade, but all through life. Number two, it's real life. We live and love as disciples of Jesus wherever we are, at home, at school, work, community, and the world. It's part of our daily lives. Faith formation is inspirational. We delve into the scriptures, develop an understanding of the Bible, and discover our faith tradition. And then we don't forget it. It's satisfying. Faith formation helps us deepen our spiritual lives through spiritual practices, and we begin to hunger for more of them. Faith formation is engaging. As we participate in service and mission to the world, we are formed in faith. And finally, faith formation is a quest. As Christians, we all are, regardless of our age, are invited to fully participate in the life and ministries of the faith community. The lens of faith formation can be placed on virtually any activity, meeting, event, or gathering in the life of a congregation. And because of that, I have developed my message to you in a practical theology kind of a way. I'm going to present to you some scenarios, all of which have occurred in Mennonite churches, and then I'm going to invite you to wonder with me, and then we'll connect them to our John 15 passage. So here we go. Faith formation happens spontaneously. As Christians, we all believe in the awesome power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and many times the Spirit of God is moving in our midst long before we arrive on the scene. For example, Alex. Alex is a 7-year-old boy who loves attending Sunday school. During one lesson, a teacher placed an empty chair at the table to represent the presence of Jesus. She called it the Jesus chair. But of course, there were only two children were able to sit next to the Jesus chair, and Alex was not going to be one of them. He became upset, but the teacher reassured him that after the other students were dismissed from class, he could take his turn. When Alex took his place beside the empty chair, he simply sat quietly while the teacher straightened the room. And after a few moments, she said, "Alex, is there something you wish to say?" He said, "Yes." And he turned to face the empty chair and he said, "Jesus, I love you." I wonder, whose faith is being nurtured here? What needs to be in place so that these kinds of holy moments can happen? How might sharing this incident with Alex's parents provide further opportunities for faith talk? Faith formation can happen spontaneously. In the book of John, portions of which Matthew just read, we hear many situations that involve characters that actually may resemble us, decisions that we might have to make. Their life experiences might be similar to ours. And as we read these stories, we might ask ourselves, what is God doing here in this story? And how can I be open to allow to God to work within me? This is a faith formation question. It's a question of reflection that expresses a desire to be more in tune with God. And so with precious Alex and his bold proclamation of love, we must also reflect, what is God doing here? Story two. Faith formation happens intentionally. When Brad and Barb moved to a new town and visited a Mennonite church, they were pleasantly surprised. Folks appeared friendly, hospitable, invitational, and within 2 days of their first visit, they were called upon by a church member of their own age who invited them to try out Sunday school and visit a small group. Within a few weeks, Barb's mother passed away unexpectedly. They were generously showered with expressions of concern, food, and cards from this new church. After 4 months, they were invited to join a new member class, and they said yes. But wait, does this sound too good to be true? Does this happen by chance? No way. All the expressions of welcoming were part of intentional hospitality plan that led to healthy interactions and an invitation for Barb and Brad to grow in their faith together with the Mennonite community. I wonder, how does hospitality connect with faith formation? In the John 15 passage, we are reminded of how important it is to stay connected to the true vine. As we abide with God, as we stay connected, there is an outcome. There is fruit bearing. As we are formed in our faith, we are intentional fruit bearers, and we can't help but be hospitable. Story number 3. Faith formation happens as we experience commitment. Marcy loved going to church camp. At age 15, she committed her life to Jesus during a very meaningful campfire service. She proclaimed, "It was nothing like I've ever experienced before. The feeling was incredible." And as you can imagine, when she shared about her experience upon returning to her home congregation, the congregation hung on her every word because this is what they'd prayed for, meaningful faith commitments every time the kids went to camp. But I wonder, what's going to happen next? What are the challenges in keeping Marcy's enthusiasm and spiritual commitment thriving? Does she have a language for faith? Is this a camp high that soon tumbles back to the realities of daily life? How might her parents and youth sponsors foster a faith-nurturing environment? What if she has questions that they can't answer? Faith formation happens as we experience commitment. Jesus reminds us in John 15, "When you are joined with me, the relationship is intimate and organic. The harvest is sure to be abundant." Faith is nurtured through personal, trusted relationships. Story number 4. Faith formation happens in the midst of crisis. If we are honest, most of us have had doubts and apathy about our faith. I have. I'm grateful that God keeps the door open and the light on and welcomes me back. I hesitate sometimes to admit that I have these feelings, but I do. And when I do admit it, I find I have plenty of company. Meet Dan. Dan is a 42-year-old professional who recently lost his job when his company downsized. Although Dan had been involved in a local church for decades, most of his satisfaction in life was tied up in his success in the business world. He was moving up the ladder at a pretty good clip. Dan believed that because of his hard work, God had truly blessed him and his family. But when he became unemployed, he began to doubt God's blessing on him. How could God let this happen? Eventually, Dan's church attendance became more and more sporadic. I wonder, does Dan's situation open the doors for spiritual guidance and nurturing? How might the congregation support Dan in the midst of his struggles and frustrations? And what are the unique challenges that middle-aged adults face, particularly in the area of faith development? Faith formation happens in the midst of crisis. Again, let's bounce back to John 15. What happens when we make ourselves at home in God's love? I love the contemporary rephrasing of this passage from John 15, and I specifically asked for it to be read and printed in the Message, because I love that phrase, make ourselves at home in God's love. Is it possible that a Christian's faith is dependent upon a feel-good experience? If we become too attached to what we perceive are the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, what happens when that blessing rug is pulled out? This is theology. Our basic understanding of God, our beliefs about God, and every now and then our theology needs a tune-up, no matter what our decade in life. In other translations of John 15, we are confronted with the word abide. And Willard Swartley, in his commentary on John, says that abide is not a common word these days. It's kind of out of style. To abide means and requires a kind of stick-to-itiveness. So we'll call that sticky faith. Abiding friendships take courage. Abiding friendships take commitment and nurturing. Swartley reminds us that to abide with Jesus is the only way to survive as a disciple, but it is a costly relationship. The benefit of abiding in Jesus is joy. Joy that is full and complete, and I would add, sustaining. And so let's go back to Dan and those faith challenges and doubts that came to haunt him. If we have a sustaining faith because of abiding with God, we can go back to the heart of faith, which is the heart of God. And then we are making a home in God's love. Number five story. Faith formation happens in the midst of Christian community. As Anabaptist Christians, we acknowledge the richness, the diversity, and the strength of Christian community and its power to fortify and shape our faith. However, we may take community for granted, assuming it's accessible to everyone. Meet Bev and reconsider this assumption. Bev is a single woman in her 50s and has tried almost every church in town. It seemed that one fit her needs for a while, but soon she felt alienated. She kept hoping there would be one church where she could fit in for good. You see, Bev struggles with mental illness, and she has for most of her adult life. With repeated hospitalizations and a variety of medications, she is stable emotionally and mentally, but her needs and her life experience are vastly different from most of the congregants. She's continually struggling finding a place where she is loved and accepted. I wonder, who will take Bev under her wing? Who will love her and extend abiding, costly friendship to her? How will the congregation's assumptions about community be challenged? Are there unspoken boundaries that exist in church that may prevent faith formation to those who are most vulnerable among us? Is there some kind of self-reflection and pruning that might need to happen in a way the congregation views itself in order to be truly welcoming to Bev? In John 15, there is much talk of abiding and love and growth and pruning and staying connected to the vine. I have not spoke much of pruning this morning because, kind of a downer. But believe me, and I know I'm preaching to the choir in the Willamette Valley here when I say that if you want to have vigorous growth, pruning is essential. So as you've heard, there is no one path for congregational faith formation. No one size fits all. In addition, as a society, we are facing tremendous challenges. As my friend John Roberto lays out in his book, Imagining Faith Formation for the 21st Century, here's four challenges briefly. Increasing diversity in American society in family structures and marriage patterns, in ethnic makeup, in theological diversity. Two, another challenge, the rise of the digital technologies that have already reshaped society and are connecting us in previously unimaginable ways. That matters in faith formation, and that matters in church life. Third challenge, dramatic change and increasing diversity in religious beliefs, practices, and affiliations of Americans. A few years ago, I did a sermon on the challenges of faith formation in the 20th century, and back then it was the number one religious affiliation is what on a census? Help me out. I forgot what it is. It's like none. The nuns. And I don't mean the Catholic nuns. I mean the nuns. Like no affiliation. So the fourth challenge is decline in religious transmission from generation to generation. Ooh. That Deuteronomy 6 passage that was read earlier this morning, that's the definition of faith formation. That's a pedagogy of saturation, where everywhere we go, everything we do, from sunrise to sunset, from doorpost to drive in the van, where faith formation happens, where faith talk is possible. And yet, that is the biggest challenge we face, is how do we amp up that religious transmission from generation to generation? These challenges call for adaptive change. No quick fixes, no easy answers, no one size fits all. Congregation must look at faith transmission and faith formation for the long haul. What will work will depend on the congregation's dependency on the Holy Spirit, on the congregation's ability to seek God and be devoted to Jesus Christ. And that, of course, is what John 15 is all about. Listen one more time. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch cannot bear grapes by itself, but only being joined to the vine, you cannot bear fruit unless you are joined to me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Make yourselves at home in my love. May it be so.
The hymn I've chosen as our response song is number 481 in the Blue Hymnal. And this song showers God's love and care upon us from above throughout our lives in every stage, from infancy to later age. We thank God for dreams of youth, for wisdom leading on to truth, for memories gathered through the years and the faith that grows from joys and tears. If you're able to stand, please stand with me. 481.
From above, throughout our lives.
seated.
Thank you, Marlene, for being here with us. We did a video this morning of the Sunday School Hour, so I'm assuming we're going to put that on our website, that people that weren't here to hear Marlene share, that'll be available. And also, please remember to stay for our potluck and time to visit with Mike and Marlene and parents with children meeting with you at 1 o'clock. So remember those things. If you have anything to share, this is your opportunity to raise your hand, and I'll bring you the mic. I do want to know if Janice and Lynn are in Puerto Rico right now with MDS. Yeah, I'm going to share a little bit.
I've had contact with my parents a couple times. We can still text and call each other, which is great, but they are in Puerto Rico. This is their second week of 3 weeks, and then they'll be going back to the East Coast for my niece's graduation before they come back here for my nephew's graduation before they go back to Virginia for Trevor's wedding. So anyway, they are doing the same thing that Stan and I are doing this summer, but they, their time in Puerto Rico, they're there with Soup, and they've been painting and have been felt very welcomed and are enjoying what they're doing there. They have this frog outside of their house that sounds like a bird. It just at night. It is quite loud every time I talk to them on the phone. But yes, it's been a very good experience so far, and they're looking forward to the second half of it. I'm not sure what, I mean, I know they were done with the painting that they were doing at the school. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing next.
But there was Soup, not MDS.
Well, no, I think it's
Soup,
or is it? Do you know?
It's
Soup, and yeah, it, yeah.
Yeah, we want to remember them and their safety, good experiences while they're there. We want to continue to remember Eva Cologne, who had a, I've got it written here on my hand, pelvic avulsion fracture, am I right? Over a week ago, so we're glad you're here today, and we want to pray for continued healing, yeah, for her. You want to share any on that? I could tell you from your face.
First off, if you see her trying to play volleyball or run around, tell her to sit down.
Be still.
Yeah, be still. So, it happened during track meet, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before. And I've read that it's relatively common, even though the orthopedic specialist said it wasn't. But then he said he'd seen three or four in the last couple of months. So I don't know if it's common or not. It's basically where the tendon pulled a fragment of her pelvic bone away from the pelvis. So it's a slight fracture. It's not a large fracture. And so that's why she was on crutches for several days. And the last couple of days, she seems to be doing a lot better. And so she ditched the crutches. And so they say 4 to 6 weeks, and she should be back. So she's should just be taking it easy. Our goal is she has a basketball camp in July, so that's kind of the doctor says she should be able to get back by then. So just keep her in your prayers. Thanks.
You're a good dad that you were there and able to take her right away. So we're glad you're here. We'll keep prayers for you. Anyone else like to share? Welcome to our visitors. Please know you're invited to stay for our potluck. There's always plenty. So please remember to do that, too. Let's go to prayer. And I'll invite you to say the Lord's Prayer with me at the end. Jesus Christ, the true vine, in our need we come to you, needing your strength. We easily become dry and lifeless without your life-giving spirit. I just thank you for Mike and Marlene's presence with us today and for her message, for her passion, for her love of faith formation. Lord, bless our continued fellowship with them through our meal and interactions together. I pray that you would bless our conversations and that you would just give this congregation discernment as we look to consider Marlene as part of our staff. Lord, our hearts are with people in need in our church and community, so we ask that you would be with us in those prayers that have not been spoken this morning, in our losses, in our confusion, in times of disagreement with each other or in our families. Lord, come and help with your healing. And we pray, too, for those that we know here with us. We pray for continued healing for Eva. Thank you for the love that you have for her. Thank you for the love her family has for her and for their care and watch. We ask that you would strengthen her body physically, that you would bring complete healing for her this morning. We think of our world. We think of things that we hear in the news. People that are in leadership and power who have decisions to make, and people whose jobs and livelihoods are affected. Lord, we pray for our nation and its leaders. May changes and choices be shaped by the values of your kingdom. And we turn our minds to images of violence that we have seen far too often, where people are terrorized, where people are fearful. And Lord, we ask that you would come with help and healing. As we are gathered today, we give thanks for the saints of the past of Zion Mennonite and the fruit that they have borne in our community and beyond. Help us to remain in you, abiding in you, that we may be fruitful and bring glory as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
For our sending song, would you turn in the green book, sing the journey to number 32, and let's stand. If you believe and I believe, and together we pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free.
Mm-hmm. If you believe and I believe, and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. And set God's people free. And set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free.
Please remain standing for this blessing on our departure as well as on our fellowship together in the food. Grant, O God, that what we have heard and spoken we might also live by the power of your same Spirit who gathered us here and who now sends us forth. Bless as well the food and the fellowship that we will share, that the love with which it is brought and the love with which it is shared might strengthen our bonds with you and each other. And this we pray in the name of him who is revealed in the blessing, the breaking, and the sharing of bread. Amen.